We have got great football coming your way on Friday. It starts on ABC at noon Eastern, Texas, Iowa State. Then 3:30 Eastern. How about this game? Notre Dame against North Carolina has monster implications. And then on ESPN 7:30 Eastern, you got Oregon against Oregon State. All three games are on the ESPN app. And obviously Desmond Howard will be covering those for us. And I just want everyone to see how seriously Desmond Howard takes hydration. That is what Desmond is drinking out of. What did you do? What the heck?
You're trying to purge your system of something. That is, you had a good time last
Hey, my dog trying to get right. Flush it out, Dad. Flush it out.
Stay hydrated. You got to stay hydrated.
That is a man who takes his hydration seriously. I hope it is not filled at this hour with Heineken. But with that thought, we mentioned that we are coming to you live, as always, on Get Up from the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17, which is... Well, it's really irrelevant to what Desmond is drinking in his enormous jug. But it's let me just move myself smoothly as I can to the Get Up Rundown. Here we come. We're going to get up with the Ravens and Steelers, the best of the Thanksgiving game. But can it be played at all? We've got the very latest in moments. Plus, they are pointing fingers in Tampa. Can Tom Brady pull this group together in time to save a season that is slipping away? And then, was getting benched the best thing that could happen to this young, budding star? Those are the questions. We've got the answers as we get up with you, starting right now with this. Alabama, number one in the initial college football playoff ranking last night. First time they've been number one since the final ranking of 2018. It's also their 19th week at number one. It's more than double anybody else's time spent at the very top. And if you look past them at number two, this is Notre Dame's highest ranking. Clemson is in at number three. No team initially ranked third has ever made the playoff, by the way. Rounding out the teams that are in right now, Ohio State. You see Texas A&M and Florida sitting there. These were the first rankings that were released last night on ESPN. Let me bring my crew in here to talk about it. I got Paul Feinbaum, I got Heather Dinich, and of course, Desmond is with us as well. And so we have never had a year in which the first four teams wound up being the final four teams. So here was the question for each of you. And Paul, you're sitting there on the left, so I'll start with you. Give me the one team that is currently in that you think is the least likely to make it, and the one team that is currently outside that you think is the most likely to get in.
Yeah, Greeny, I think least likely is Notre Dame, and you put it up on the screen a minute ago. They have a very difficult game Friday at North Carolina. That's a losable game, so I think that makes their path a little more difficult, and obviously they have Clemson, but that's a different situation. From outside, I think it's Texas A&M. They don't have a smooth ride in. They have to deal with Auburn on the road, which could be very difficult. Tennessee, which may not be nearly as difficult. They need some help. They need Florida to lose to Alabama. They need Notre Dame or Clemson, one of the two, to get knocked out. But I think if they get a little bit of luck, they could get in.
Okay, and that would give us two, we would assume, SEC teams in the playoff. Heather, you are next. Give me the one team that's in that you think is the likeliest not to make it, and the one team that's out that you give the best chance.
Greeny, I agree with Paul that it's Notre Dame. I will say this, though. I think that Notre Dame can lose to North Carolina and still beat Clemson, finish as a one-loss ACC team, and get in this thing. But I don't think that they're going to beat Clemson in the ACC championship game, and I think eventually that would knock them out. The one team I think that can jump in, and you're going to love this, my friend, is Northwestern, because it's so clear cut. They're leading the West. They have a chance to knock off Ohio State in the Big Ten championship game. And boom, they're in as an undefeated Big Ten champ. And Greeny, here's a stat for you about Northwestern. There are only two teams in the country, two, that have multiple wins against top 25 CFP teams and no losses. Alabama and Northwestern.
Yes, I'm listening. I'm paying close attention to every word you're saying. In fact, I don't even know which camera is facing me right now. Thank you. I would like you to just continue saying it. What you were saying was spectacular. Northwestern is number one in strength of record. Number one in the entire country in strength of record. I don't care if I'm lit where I'm standing or not. I liked it. Okay, Desmond, I'm coming to you next. Give me the team that you think is outside that's likeliest to get in and the team that's inside that's likeliest to get left out.
Okay, so the team that's outside is likeliest to get in. I would go with the Florida Gators. I think that they can match firepower with Alabama in the SEC championship game. I think that's a game that they can win if their defense can hold up. They've been playing very well in the second half of the season so far. And the team that that may not make it, that's in it already, I would have to agree with Heather. Ohio State. People aren't really paying attention to how good this Northwestern team is. I think now they're starting to pique some interest because of the way they handled Wisconsin, but they're great on defense. Peyton Ramsey is an excellent quarterback for that system. And Greeny, a lot of people always talk about when you go up against the Buckeyes, you got to match blow for blow. You got to get into a scoring battle. That's not the deal. You have to get stops. And Indiana got a lot of stops against the Buckeyes. I think Northwestern could possibly upset Ohio State in the Big Ten championship game. So I would say Ohio State is a team that's in right now that's most likely to be out.
This is the best day of my life. This is literally the best day I've ever had in my entire life. It's a day I never expected to happen, and it could not be better. Guys, thank you all. Outstanding. And, of course, we have many more weeks of this. And I have a Twitter poll question up right now that I'm asking you to answer the same question that they all just answered. Which of the four teams that you saw listed last night do you think will not make it? Which is the least likely to get in? Alabama, Notre Dame, Clemson, Ohio State. Log on to my Twitter page at ESPN Greeny and let us know what you think. We'll update the results a little bit later. Meanwhile, to the NFL. Yesterday, the Ravens canceled their practice after learning of more positive coronavirus tests. They've had five players and four staffers test positive this week. All team activities are now virtual. And remember, they play tomorrow, the Thanksgiving night primetime game against the Steelers. Here's one of their players on Twitter. I believe this is from this morning. Derek Wolfe tweeted, "Player safety, what a joke." So that should give you some sense of what at least one member of the Ravens is thinking as they work their way towards this. So, Dan Graziano, let me start with you. As we see it, you know, if we're going to take that as indicative in some way of the mood coming out of the Baltimore locker room right now preparing for this, what more can you tell us about the situation with the coronavirus and their chances of playing tomorrow night?
Well, as of now, the game is still on. Obviously, we're awaiting the results of testing that will come out this morning and again tomorrow morning. And if there's a massive expansion of the number of positives, then it is possible the game has to be postponed or canceled, or you know, they'll figure out what to do. Remember, early in the season, they could move games around because there were bye weeks, and now there really aren't. Only two more teams have their byes. But the league is looking at a couple of ways to try and get this game in. Look, there's a possibility that the Ravens could fly tomorrow to Pittsburgh instead of today. It's a short flight. They have the expanded practice squads this year. You're up to 16 guys on a practice squad, and you're allowed to elevate guys from the practice squad as late as 90 minutes before kickoff. So there is roster flexibility in case they're shorthanded. Obviously, the Ravens are concerned about, you know, safety and health. They're concerned about having to play the Steelers shorthanded. There's a lot of concerns in that Ravens locker room right now, I am sure, but the league is trying to get their games played as safely as possible, and if they can get this thing played tomorrow night, they're going to go ahead and find a way to do it.
Right. If it's a question of safety, then they're going to play. They're going to take that as the first priority. If it's a question of fairness, Graziano, I keep going back to something you said on this show at the beginning of the season. This 1 year, fairness is not the first priority. They're going to get the games in if they can. So, Dominique, let me just ask you very simply. If the game is played, they're playing without Dobbins, they're playing without Ingram, and who knows who else they might ultimately be missing. Can they win? Can you see a scenario where the Ravens beat unbeaten Pittsburgh tomorrow night on the road?
I mean, it's getting less and less likely, but I think it's a possibility. The Ravens are a professional football team, and they will show up and play well. And I think the Steelers, despite the fact that they are undefeated, I don't think they're as good as their record suggests. We saw what happened last time they played. I think most people would say that the Ravens outplayed the Steelers, made some key mistakes towards the end of that game to cost them that game. But I think they are a pretty good team going up against a better team. So I don't think they're totally outmatched. They're not going to get blown out no matter how many running backs or coaches are have succumbed to the COVID protocol. So I think it'll be a close game. And at the end, whoever makes those final plays, which is kind of how it works out every time the Ravens and the Steelers play, whoever makes those plays at the end of the game will win.
That's true. I mean, the Ravens actually had the Steelers on the ropes when they met a few weeks ago, and Pittsburgh came back and won. Same question, RC. Do you see a way the Ravens win this game?
Yeah, man. I mean, listen, they're an NFL football team and a good NFL football team with a great quarterback. And, like, think about it. Carlton had a chance of making the last shot when he stole the ball away from Will on the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. So there's always a chance. But when you look at this Ravens team, maybe their back needs to be against the wall. Maybe they need to feel they have to come out swinging. Maybe Lamar Jackson needs that little push to go out and be great, to be excellent, to be more than he has this entire year. And I think he can do it. And let's not forget, there are good players on this defense as well. And when you get into a rivalry like this, anything can happen. I think the Pittsburgh Steelers are the better team. They definitely are helped by players from the Ravens being out, the facilities being closed, but nobody's practicing this week anyway. So the Ravens definitely have a chance, and Mike Tomlin and the Steelers know that.
Okay, we'll talk more about the Steelers a little later. And the one thing I will say is I remember where Carlton's shot wound up, and I don't think that's what the Ravens are looking for. All right, we'll take a quick break. As we continue, Kyler Murray struggled with a sore shoulder and an inspired Seahawks team last week. Will he be ready against the Patriots? We've got an update. And then, even if you're not surprised by the issues on the field, did anyone expect Bruce Arians to call out the GOAT? Is something going on here we don't know about? We're talking about it. Get up on ESPN. We are back on Get Up, and we are talking about Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It has been up and down. Brady has struggled at times with accuracy and the deep ball, and that is something his coach Bruce Arians directly addressed yesterday. Listen to this.
We've got the guys open. We just missed them, and there are times when coverage dictates you go to that guy. I think we can do a better job utilizing the deep ball in our game plan more of or less of. So each and every week so different. But when they're there, we need to hit them. We can't have them going off our fingertips, and we can't overthrow them. Other than the deep ball, I think he's getting confused a few times with coverage. That might be causing some inaccurate balls, but I don't see it at all in practice. We're not missing the deep ball in practice, that's for sure. So it's just a matter on Sundays hitting them.
I remain absolutely flabbergasted by that. And I just jotted down some of the things that he just said. Had them open, but just missed them. Can't overthrow them. Getting confused by the coverage. He's saying Tom Brady, who has made himself the most accomplished football player that ever lived by knowing the coverage before the defense did, is being confused by the coverage. So there are really two questions here. One is, should he be saying this? The second is he right? RC, let's start with the second one. Is what he just said right?
Greeny, way to steal my thunder. I was going to start this with, but did he lie? Because he didn't. He's absolutely right. We've seen all of these things. Tom Brady knows that we've seen these things. What we're not used to is people saying it. You gotta realize he came from a coach who didn't really say anything, and now you're getting a coach that actually tells people exactly where you messed up. But isn't this what Tom Brady wanted, right? Tom Brady, we always talked about how Bill Belichick coached everyone the same. Well, Bruce Arians seems to coach everyone the same and talk about them in the media the same way. Like, this is part of it. Welcome to being a regular dude, Tom, on a regular team. But he has to get things fixed, and maybe Bruce is speaking to him through the media.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. Now, he isn't a regular dude, obviously, on a regular team. But I understand the way you mean that. Dominique, I'm going to come back to you.
But on this team, he is regular, though, Greeny.
But he isn't, because he was the most sought-after free agent ever, and he's 43 years old, and he handpicked this spot based upon an opportunity. They all know what they're doing here, RC, right? This is one team trying to catch lightning in a bottle in a very short period of time and win this minute. So I understand what you mean, but
Greeny,
it feels different. Yeah.
Greeny, but they are dating, right? And they know that they're dating. They're looking for two or three really hot, really great dates, and then they're moving on. He's not trying to marry him. I don't have to develop a relationship with you to take you to Ruth Chris two times. And that's what he's trying to do. He's trying to go out and get a great steak and then move on in life. So he's not trying to do this thing for marriage. So I don't have to coddle you.
Okay,
so let me get everyone in. With this analogy, what is the Super Bowl in that point? I don't know. Never mind, Greeny. Answer your question.
Yeah, I just want to hear your perspective on this. If they're just dating, but we all know where they want this date to end, however way I can phrase that delicately, can they get there? Can they consummate this relationship the way this thing is going so far, Dominique?
It's a mess, and I love it. It's a mess, and I love it. I do think that they can. I think they possibly can, because Tom Brady can be great in stretches. We've seen him several times this season play like that Tom Brady we saw back when he was with Randy Moss. The problem is they can't ask him to do it week after week after week. And when they get to the playoffs, they're going to have to win four games in a row. Maybe Tom Brady can come up with those big plays at certain moments of the game. They need to adjust their expectations for him and adjust their game plan accordingly. I think what Bill Belichick was doing last year was asking Tom Brady to be great in moments. Right now, the Bucs are asking him to be great all game. And I'm not sure that he can do that physically or mentally based on what Bruce Arians is telling us right now.
Desmond, jump in here. What are you seeing as you watch him? What do you think of all this?
Yeah. Let me give you some perspective right quick, Greeny. Now listen, RC likes to give you these examples, right? So let's say RC or Nick is great at making sweet potato pies, right? So they're going to invite her over tomorrow to make a sweet potato pie because she's the best ever at making these pies. So she gives RC or Nick a list of ingredients to buy. Boom, 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 boom. Buy these things. She comes to RC's or Nick's house tomorrow. She goes into the kitchen. She looks at the ingredients. She's like, now you bought all this stuff right here and you want me to make, you say, a sweet potato pie, but you got ingredients for a pumpkin pie. You can't bring the greatest pie maker ever into your kitchen and you let him pick the ingredients and then all of a sudden you tell him, yeah, you got to make a pumpkin pie. No, you bring the greatest cook in there to make the sweet potato pie. That's what you do with Tom Brady. You don't want him out there making pumpkin pies. That's not what made him become great. He has to make sweet potato pies. You got him throwing the ball down the field all the time like Randy Moss is this guy. That ain't who he is. Let him do and make what he makes that made him great. Thank you, sir.
Perfectly said. That is perfectly said. That is the perfect.
Nobody eats pumpkin pie. Though. Nobody eats pumpkin pie.
Go to the break, Greeny. Go to the break.
Okay. Let me leave it there for the moment.
Bernie Mac on YouTube. I don't eat no damn pumpkin pie.
Pumpkin pie.
Okay. We're coming back as we continue. Pat Mahomes and company got their revenge against the Raiders last week. Is it smooth sailing back to the Super Bowl? We'll answer that question. And then Dan Graziano will try to answer this one from Hembo. Here we go. Who is the all-time leader in games played on Thanksgiving? That's the question. The answer is next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Are you gonna quit now? Are you gonna get down?
This is a tough one. Here we go, Graziano. Sneaky Hembo's coming for you. Who is the all-time leader in games played on Thanksgiving?
It's not a tough one. I'm going to guess the all-time leader in games played for the Dallas Cowboys, which is Jason Witten.
Oh, you know, it was an interesting thought. You went with the wrong traditional team. It's Detroit's kicker, Jason Hansen, who spent 20 years there and kicked in 20 Thanksgiving games. Dan Graziano
Sneaky
with an appreciative
indeed
nod on this Thanksgiving for Hembo. We'll take a break. Coming up, the Steelers remain unbeaten. Grab your terrible towels and find out if Big Ben and company finally make it to number one in RC's power rankings. They're on the way. This is Get Up on ESPN. We are back on Get Up, and let's run the hurry up with Dan Graziano through some injury updates around the league. Let's start with Kyler Murray. Dan, what do we have?
Kyler Murray hurt his shoulder in Arizona's last game. They expect him to be fine and able to play Sunday in New England, but he was working a little bit differently in practice yesterday, doing some working with trainers on a rehab field. I don't expect him to do as much throwing in practice this week as he would normally do, but they're trying to manage him through the week so he can play on Sunday. Carolina quarterback Teddy Bridgewater, remember, he was close to playing on Sunday, but they deactivated him at the last minute. He's got that knee issue. The expectation for him is to practice today and return to play Sunday if all goes well. But of course, if there are issues, remember, Carolina has its bye next week, so if they feel like it's safer to hold him out for another couple weeks, they could make that decision. As of now, encouraging signs for Teddy Bridgewater. And the Jets may get quarterback Sam Darnold back this week. There's some hope that he might be able to practice today and play Sunday against the Dolphins. Remember, he's been out with that shoulder injury. They've been using Joe Flacco. There is some sentiment that they want to see Darnold with the starting wide receivers, which he hasn't really had all year, get a better evaluation of him going forward, whether it's for the Jets or whether it's for potentially other interested teams this offseason.
All right, we'll keep an eye on that. That one is of at least some interest to me for sure. Meanwhile, this is very interesting to me. The Pittsburgh Steelers are the last unbeaten team in the National Football League. And if you look at their remaining schedule, you see they still have some tough games. Tomorrow night is certainly a losable one against the Ravens. They also have at Buffalo on their schedule. They have the Colts. So the road to 16-0 is not easy, but it certainly is possible. And so let's talk a little bit about this possibility. And RC, as the longtime former Steeler, I want to start with you. You played for Mike Tomlin. It may come down to a situation towards the end of the season where he has to decide how important that is. You know, if they wrap everything up, then he will have to make a decision. Is going for 16-0 important? You know him so well. How important to him do you think it would be?
I think it would be as important as it needs to be. Listen, Coach Tomlin is a historian. You know, when you sit around and you talk to him, he talks to you about the art of war and all of these books that he's read and all of these great philosophers, or all these great leaders. And if he looks at it historically, he will understand that 16-0 actually means nothing if it's not because you needed it. And so if the Kansas City Chiefs that still only have one loss and they need to get to 16-0, then obviously that's something he will go for. I think if they have everything wrapped up, he will talk to his leaders, he will talk to his players, lay out the pros and cons of proceeding, have a conversation with them, and then make the best decision for his team to win a Super Bowl. Because in the end, that's what it's about. See, we're not... When you're a Pittsburgh Steeler, you're not one of those organizations that is trying to win a Super Bowl. You are there, you are hired and paid to win. And that's what Coach Tomlin will be focused on.
Now, I remember the 96 Bulls, who won 72 games, had a phrase they used throughout the playoffs: it don't mean a thing if you don't get the ring. So I can see that being the point. So let's go to Unique. Let's put the question this way. How would you assess their chances of going 16-0? And if you don't think they're going to do it, show me the game they lose. Who are they going to lose to?
Yeah, I mean, I think that they could definitely lose to the Colts. I think that Colts defense is pretty special. But I could see them pulling it off, honestly. I don't think the Ravens game is as tough as I would have thought it was a couple weeks ago due to injuries and other things like that. But I do think that it's hugely important to Mike Tomlin's legacy, probably something that something I know he doesn't necessarily care about. But I think that vaults him up to be the first team to go 16-0 and then also win a Super Bowl. Like, no one's ever done that. We talk about the Dolphins who went undefeated. That was before we had a 16-game season. I think that changes the way we talk about Tomlin. Right now, he's one of the great coaches in the game. He then becomes one of the great coaches of all time.
Yes, that's exactly right. The 72 Dolphins went 17-0 total, including the Super Bowl. What do you think, Desmond? What chances would you give the Steelers of running the table and finishing 16-0?
I think the Buffalo game is a game they can lose. It's on the road. But then again, being from Cleveland, I know just how much the Browns absolutely hate the Pittsburgh Steelers. So that game is in Cleveland. They would love to just wreck their season, their perfect record in Cleveland. I think we get the best game out of Baker Mayfield and that crew. So that's another tricky game. I do not see them going undefeated in the regular season. I don't think it means as much to them as it does to anybody else, because like you said, Greeny, it does not mean a thing if you ain't got that ring. And I believe they're more focused on winning a Super Bowl as opposed to just having a perfect regular season.
One of the things that might come into it is if Kansas City keeps winning. The Steelers would need to keep winning to stay ahead of them if the Chiefs have only the one loss. And I will mention, those hated Browns did lose to the Steelers 38-7 earlier this season,
You can hate them as much as you want. That don't score you no points.
We're talking about the Steelers. The big question is, where will they wind up on RC's power rankings this week? Everyone wants to see him put them at number one. The ESPN.com power rankings, you see them there. They have Pittsburgh number one, followed by Kansas City, New Orleans, Green Bay, and the Buffalo Bills. But RC, the rankings that matter on this show are yours. And everyone wants to see if you will finally put Pittsburgh number one. The floor is yours.
Well, listen, I saw that Stephen A put them at number one, but we're going to start at five. And at five, I'm going with the Las Vegas Raiders. And people will say, well, RC, they lost this week to Kansas City. I don't give a dang. This team is the real deal. The Las Vegas Raiders are built to win. They could score with anyone. The only mistake that they made this weekend was giving Patrick Mahomes a minute and 43 seconds to score. When you look at what John Gruden and Mike Mayock has done, they've developed this team with physicality and then with speed on the outside. And Derek Carr is a guy that we should be talking about for MVP that just isn't getting enough love. And at number four, I know the people in Los Angeles been waiting for this. This is what they wanted to see. They wanted to be back in the power rankings, and they are. They move up to number four this week. The Los Angeles Rams are balling. They are a complete team, top to bottom. They obviously have a genius coach. They have a defense that gets after your keister. If you don't remember, ask Tom Brady. And a young secondary that flies around and makes plays. I'm excited to watch this team each and every week. They have a chance to be the NFC representative in the Super Bowl because of the way they run the ball, the way Jared Goff has options to throw the ball on the outside, but it's about this defense. This is one of the best defenses in the league, and we saw that on Monday. And number three, the Saints. They'd be higher if the other two teams weren't as good. The Saints have now shown you in six plus games that they don't even need Drew Brees to win regular season games. Think about that. He's one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. First ballot Hall of Famer. They played six plus games without him in the last 2 years, and they've beaten every single team that they played. Why? Because they get to the quarterback. Look at that front. Eight sacks on Matt Ryan and the Atlanta Falcons. Lock up in the back end, and whether it's Taysom Hill, Teddy Bridgewater, or Drew Brees, they find ways at quarterback offensively because of Sean Payton. And at number two, it's the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I know, ORC, why aren't they one? They're undefeated, and they are cold. I am a fan. I think they have a great chance to win the Super Bowl. They might even go undefeated, but there's still some things when you watch them, I'm like, but that. And so are they perfect in the record? Yes, but they're not a perfect team. There's still some things they got to get, but they just so dang good. TJ Watt, Bud Dupree, Cam Hayward, Rob Spillane, Minka Fitzpatrick, and then the weapons on the outside. Juju Smith-Schuster, Chase Claypool. Ben has a plethora of people to choose from when he want to get right, and he's been getting right often. And at number one, it is the Kansas City Chiefs. And Zach asked me yesterday, or was it this morning? I don't know. We talked 17 times about doing one show for 2 hours and one segment for 2 minutes. What video you want? I said, Mahomes, 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 Mahomes. He reminds me of Dylon. Who are the top five rappers? Dylon, 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 and that's who Patrick Mahomes is. It don't matter who they play. Doesn't matter how good you play. If you give this dude a chance to win, he's going to do it. 20 points, 11 points, 10 points. No lead is comfortable. No lead is safe. You still on the sidelines, tight and tensed up, even when you're winning against Kansas City. Why? It ain't because of Andy Reid. We like him. He's a nice guy. He wears Tommy Bahama shirts. We love the landlord on the other side, collecting rent when rent is due and not fixing your stuff if he ain't got his money. But we all know, if you give Patrick Mahomes a chance, that's your tell, Mr. Postman, because the dog is coming.
And so there they are, RC's power rankings, Raiders, Rams, Saints, Steelers, and Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs at number one. Let's get everybody in here. I find myself unable to argue. Go ahead. Who yelled Greeny?
No, I just said I'm right, Greeny. I'm right.
Oh,
no,
right. I thought someone yelled Greeny.
It's hard to argue with the list. I agree. I would probably do a similar list. But my question is the same question that I had all week. Like, what would have to happen? Is there anything, short of Patrick Mahomes getting hurt, is there anything that could happen that could vault the Steelers above the Chiefs, Ryan?
That's a good question, RC.
Kansas City would have to lose. If
they
Kansas City
lost
is 15-1 and the Steelers are 16-0, they got to lose again. I need a two-game cushion by the Steelers need to show me that they could be perfect. And somebody else other than the Raiders need to show me that they can beat Patrick Mahomes. Now. I'm just saying.
Dez. Desmond Howard, what do you think? He's got. Go ahead, RC. What do you think? Excuse me, Desmond Howard. What do you think?
I think that's a good list. I'll go with KC being number one right now, and the Steelers being number two. I don't have a problem with that because Mahomes is the difference maker. He's the guy who you look at no matter what the score is, you always know you have a chance as long as Mahomes is out there on the football field. So I like the list. I will go Mahomes and KC over the Steelers right now.
Quickly,
I got another look at the list.
The Saints, yeah, I'm not sure about the Saints at number three.
We're arguing about the list.
No, I'm not sure about the Saints.
Graziano, quick thought, go.
I still have the Chiefs over the Steelers. My issue is the back end. I would consider Buffalo over the Raiders at this point. I'd also think that Green Bay and Indianapolis are teams that deserve consideration. I'm not saying they didn't get consideration, but I'm not sure about the Raiders either.
All right. You're wrong, Dan.
I like RC's list exactly the way he's got it. I will take a break here. We'll come back. Oh, I want to mention, by the way, we have great college football coming your way on Friday. We got two awesome games on ABC. Starts at noon Eastern, Texas, Iowa State. Then you got a monster matchup with Notre Dame and North Carolina. And then primetime on ESPN, Oregon, Oregon State with so much at stake. Should be terrific Friday. And all three games are on the ESPN app. Coming up, some were surprised CT Tua got benched last week when the Dolphins needed a spark. But our unique perspective this morning says that might have been the best thing that could have happened to him. You'll hear it next.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Delicious, meet nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Get Up is brought to you by Marvel's Spider-Man Miles Morales, rated T-14. All right, we got college basketball coming your way on the ESPN and the ESPN app. Tipping it off with the 2K Empire Classic from Mohegan Sun, highlighted by two top 20 teams. We have number 18 Arizona State taking on Rhode Island, and then we got number 3 Villanova taking on Boston College. Amazing college basketball is back. And with that, we welcome you back to our studios here at the Seaport. I am Greeny. We are with you commercial-free for the next 13 minutes and change, and that is when First Take will come your way on this very busy Wednesday. We will talk about, or they will talk about, is tomorrow night a must-win for Lamar Jackson? Can Tom Brady keep up with Patrick Mahomes? RC joining Max and Charlie on First Take next. But right now, it's time for Neek.
Ready or not, tell him here I come.
Look at me, handsome, fast, quick. Doesn't take much for me to, I'm modest, humble, you know. Doesn't take much for me to be confident.
Here he is, the man who was profiled yesterday in the Washington Post for everyone to read about his genius, his insight, and his plans. We have a feature here that we call Unique Perspective. Dominique, what is our unique perspective today?
So I want to focus on the Dolphins. What they've been doing down there is really special, and I think that Flores and Greer, the head coach and GM, deserve a lot of credit. But I think that a lot of people are critical of Brian Flores for going to Tua and now critical of Brian Flores for going away from Tua. But what I think is most important right now is that we focus too much on people's words. And the action, the words only carry any weight if the actions support them. And you often hear people saying that players can see through coaches who are full of it. We can see through them because they say certain things like the best players play. We're going to do the best thing we can to put you in a position to win. And then they go and do things that do not jive with that. I respect Brian Flores so much because it seems like his actions support that. Last year before the season started, I thought they were tanking. He said, we're not tanking. He wasn't lying. They weren't tanking. This in this particular game, I thought that Tua probably should come out because he wasn't playing well. Anyone who was watching that game thought that maybe Tua should have been benched at halftime. But Brian Flores gave him a chance, and he did not succeed. And what he did was put in the player who he felt at that moment could get him the best chance to win. I think that is the right thing to do when you are building an organization, a relationship, anything. All of us know this, that people say lots of things. We only have confidence in the things that people say when they are supported by consistent action. There's nothing about Brian Flores that seems inconsistent. And I love what he did last weekend. I love what they're doing down there. And I think it was the right thing for Tua, and it's the right thing for the Dolphins.
I like the unique perspective, and I agree with it on its face. Now, as I bring the rest of the crew in here, the question I would ask, and Ryan, I will start with you, is it's a fine line to walk when you're trying to do two things at once. You're trying to win, which Brian Flores is trying to do, and you're trying to develop a young quarterback who you hope is going to become a superstar. Those are not always easy things to do at the same time. What did you think of what Neek just said and of the decision by the coach?
You know, I think Dominique made great points. Like, when you look at Brian Flores, you often feel that his decisions are in line with his mode of thinking. That's what's confusing about this. When you made the decision to move to Tua Tagovailoa, that decision was made and we were made to believe because you thought he was ready, because it was time for him to play, because he gave you the best chance to win. So does he give you the best chance to win every week or not? Because if he does, then you don't pull him. You don't pull Tom Brady. You don't pull Drew Brees. And obviously, Tua Tagovailoa hasn't reached this point of experience, but he is now the starting quarterback. He is now your guy. And to me, pulling him just to win a game isn't in line with the goal or the decision you made to make the change.
What do you think, Desmond? Obviously, you know, you've watched every snap Tua took in college, and now you've seen what he's doing. What'd you think of the way it was handled?
Yeah, you know what? And I live here in Miami, too, and I go to, before this season, I go to a lot of Dolphins games, and I've had opportunities to meet Coach Brian Flores, and his philosophy is he has to do what's best for the team. Now, guys, if you look at the big picture, we can't just focus on Tua. You know, his development is important, but what's more important is the development of this team. Don't forget, like you said, Neek, before, people were saying he was tanking for Tua. No, he wasn't tanking. He was changing a culture, and they're still in the process of changing that culture. So if you see a young quarterback out there struggling, maybe he's not seeing things like he was a couple of weeks ago, and you're getting that report not only from the offensive coordinator but the quarterback coach, and they're telling you, listen, he's not seeing things. It's in your best interest at that point to do what's best for the team, not Tua individually. So he had to pull Tua to give his team the better opportunity to win that game and to give Tua an opportunity to sit on the sideline and maybe look from a different perspective, a different lens at what the defense was trying to do to him. So I am 100% agreement with what Brian Flores did when they pulled Tua.
And Graziano, let me come to you on this, because we had the reports from Adam Schefter a few weeks ago that the Dolphins, because they have Houston's pick, were doing their due diligence on the young quarterbacks, and they wanted to see Tua to figure out what they have, and now the benching of the player. What is your sense of the total level of organizational confidence they have in Tua?
They have confidence in Tua. They believe he is the guy going forward. They believe he's the best way for them to win games this year because he elevates the ceiling for them at that position. They believed in the course of the game that he was getting in a little bit over his head and could benefit from sitting down. Ryan Fitzpatrick is not a threat to take his job. Brian Flores is, as Dominique pointed out, consistent in his message. He's authentic in his message. His team buys in, and he's not really bothering about external perceptions about the move. I think Brian Flores knows what he's doing.
Okay, yep, it is a unique perspective and a good one today. Let's talk about another struggling quarterback who himself is still a young player, and that's Carson Wentz. After another very tough day Sunday and an Eagles loss to the Browns, the idea of benching Wentz has come up and has been spoken very loudly by fans and by media, but not by the head coach. However, I could point out that this happened. So Jordan Schultz of ESPN posted this poll question on Instagram. Should the Eagles give the ball to rookie quarterback Jalen Hurts? Among the people who responded were DK Metcalf, wide receiver, Seattle Seahawks. Again, those two teams play each other on Monday night. We could put up DK's response here if we can. He posted, I vote yes. That's DK Metcalf. That's an opposing player, and these teams meet on Monday night. And he wasn't the only one. DJ Dallas posting, yes, I vote they should give the ball to Jalen Hurts. And you had a very interesting perspective as I bring my group out here again. Do I still have, no. So we heard Desmond earlier say, if he's calling for that, RC, those players are calling for that because they want to face Jalen Hurts. Is that what they're saying?
Man, 100%. You saw my face when it finally hit me before Desmond started talking, and I was like, because I got it. Like, that's why you do that. You say, you know what? That's the dude I want to see. I want to see Jalen Hurts. And this could be twofold. This could be because we've seen greatness from Carson Wentz, or it could be because if you played in the SEC, you probably often sometime thought that Jalen Hurts was the one holding Alabama back offensively. And that's why Tua Tagovailoa eventually replaced him in the national championship. So these dudes aren't trying to give the Philadelphia Eagles the upper hand. What they're saying is, we want to get this dub. Y'all go ahead on and be stupid and stick Carson Wentz on the bench for Jalen Hurts.
For what it's worth, DK Metcalf did play against Jalen Hurts twice in college. Alabama beat his Ole Miss teams by a combined 118 points. So Jalen Hurts thoroughly dominated in those matchups. Dominique, what do you think? Do you think they, if you were making these decisions, would you be considering giving the ball to the backup quarterback?
Yeah, I'd absolutely be considering. I'm not seeing what they're seeing in practice, and I also wasn't high on Jalen Hurts coming out of the draft, so I don't think that Jalen Hurts necessarily is the answer, but what else can you change at this moment, and why draft a guy that high if you don't want to go to him? I think that Carson Wentz, it would serve him well to potentially take a different perspective for a week and look at what's happening. He might come back a little bit or a lot better, and he might also give everyone perspective of the difference between these two players. So I think Carson Wentz is probably going to be, or not probably, he's absolutely the long-term answer for the next couple years. But for now, it's worth giving Hurts a shot to see what happens, because he can't play much worse than Carson Wentz has in recent weeks.
Yeah, that part of it is right. Graziano, tell everyone why the long-term answer is Wentz without question.
They're locked in contract-wise, through effectively, at least through the year 2022. They have to make it work with Wentz, or else it's going to be cataclysmic for the organization. And look, if the players in the Seattle locker room know starting the rookie gives Seattle a better chance to win, the players in the Eagles locker room probably Philadelphia have a very similar perspective.
That's the Monday night game this week. We have to say goodbye to Ryan Clark, but you will see him again in 4 minutes. RC, one of the hosts of First Take, coming up here top of the hour on ESPN. A very happy Thanksgiving, my good friend. RC, you're the best. We will see you in just a few minutes. Meanwhile, let's talk about the Buccaneers in our final minutes here. Their quarterback, Tom Brady, it's been up and down for him for sure. Accuracy issues, deep ball issues. Yesterday, his coach, Bruce Arians, had a lot to say about the way things have gone. Listen.
We've had the guys open. We just missed them. And there are times when coverage dictates you go to that guy. I think we can do a better job utilizing the deep ball in our game plan more of or less of. So each and every week so different. But when they're there, we need to hit them. We can't have them going off our fingertips, and we can't overthrow them. Other than the deep ball, I think he's getting confused a few times with coverage. That might be causing some inaccurate balls, but I don't see it at all in practice. We're not missing the deep ball in practice, that's for sure. So it's just a matter on Sundays hitting them.
All right, so that's the third time we've played that, and I remain completely flabbergasted by each time. So, Dominique, I'm going to give you an analogy here, okay? If you're a high-profile NBA coach and your team acquires Ben Simmons, are you going to put him out there and say, okay, kid, on our offense, we chuck up threes, so I want you to shoot us. We're going to be shooting threes out here. I know you've never made a three in your whole life, but this is what we do, so that's what I'm asking you to do. That, it feels to me, is like what Bruce Arians is doing. He's taking his offense and saying, here, Tom Brady, come run this, instead of, I will try and run an offense that you have managed to win six Super Bowls running. That's how I see it, Neek. Tell me if I'm wrong.
I mean, poor Ben Simmons catching strays in the offseason. He's an outstanding defensive player, a great passer, a good player to build a team around. But you're right. You don't build a three-point shooting team around Ben Simmons. And I would say that you probably don't build a deep ball-focused team around a player like Tom Brady. But the difficult thing is, Tom Brady feels to me like he wants to prove that he can throw the deep ball. He wants to show us that he's still that quarterback that was breaking records when Randy Moss was on his team. I think that's part of the problem. That's why he goes went to this team with all these great receivers, and he also went after AB to add another great receiver. Tom Brady wants to do that, and I think that Bruce Arians wants to do that, but it's a problem because I don't think that Tom Brady is built to do that at this point in his career.
What do you think, Dez?
Tom Brady's two strongest attributes as a quarterback has been his accuracy on short to intermediate throws and his football IQ. So to listen to his coach, Bruce Arians, say that he was confused in coverages. I mean, this guy's been playing a game for 20 years now at a very, very high level. That's very alarming to me. The accuracy on the deep throws, no problem with that. But to say that he was confused by coverages, that's a big problem. And I think that's something that I would like to hear him address further, because that's just not who Tom Brady is. He's a guy who can see a coverage before it unfolds. Pre-snap read, post-snap reads, he's always right. So now to say that these coverages were confusing to Tom Brady, who's seen just about everything, was probably the most damning statement of that post-game press conference by his head coach, Bruce Arians, to me.
Graziano, final thought.
Next summer, there's going to be an NFL team that has had a big offseason and put together a whole bunch of new pieces, and we're going to be very excited about them. It was Tampa last year. It was Cleveland the year before that. We need to remember that it takes time to put these things together, and it doesn't always work. There's a lot of new pieces trying to get to know each other in Tampa, and it hasn't fully clicked.
Outstanding. Guys, what a fabulous day. Thank you all for getting up with us, and for those that we will not see again tomorrow morning, a very happy Thanksgiving to all of you. I can't tell you how much I appreciate you being here with us every single day. Thank you for getting up with us. I'll see you back noon Eastern on ESPN Radio Coast to Coast. But the fun continues with First Take now.